Rainbow Mags, the United with Pride podcast, proudly supported by Pride Radio.
Welcome to Rainbow Mags, the official podcast from United with Pride, the Newcastle United LGBTQ plus supporters group. This podcast is a place where listeners can expect a friendly natter about all things queer, all things football, and above all things Newcastle United. My name is Louis. I'm one of your co-hosts, and I use he, him, or they, them pronouns.
Hi, I'm Holly, one of your co-hosts. I use she, they pronouns. The month of February is LGBTQ History Month. To kick off this month of celebration, Louis is going to take us on a bit of a journey to look back on the remarkable life of Justin Fashanu, and we will be deep diving into the legacy of a true footballing pioneer. But before we start, shall we both reflect on LGBTQ History Month and what it means to us? Louis, how do you think LGBTQ History Month is still important or needed in 2024?
Well, I was putting together this podcast today. I think I've been thinking about representation, not just in sport, but for LGBTQ plus people kind of across society. And as a trans person in 2024, it's pretty obvious to me that we still need these days, these kind of events in the calendar that kind of prompt us to look back, reflect on where we've come from, take stock. Because it's a pretty scary place to be, isn't it, in 2024 for some parts of our communities where, you know, we're still facing lots of backlash in the media. There's a lot of stuff on social media now, which is just, it can be quite devastating to read. I find myself having to, you know, block a lot of things on Twitter so I don't see it, or X as now it's called, you know. So I think definitely, you know, having these days are really important. I don't know what you think about History Month and whether you've had any, have you been to any events or anything, or?
Not yet, but I will be going to definitely some film screenings that are going on in Glasgow. I'm planning to go and see Oliver Strangers as well, which is obviously very queer coded, from what I have heard. That's supposed to be amazing as a film. So looking forward to go and see that, but I think I'll make sure to take the Kleenex. It's supposed to be really sad.
Definitely.
Speaking
of Kleenex, you know, today's topic is kind of, it's important to look back on Justin's life, but it's also quite sad. So it probably comes with a bit of a content warning, you know, looking at this, the topic of Justin's life. But so that being said, should we dive into it then?
Absolutely. I can't wait to learn more.
Okay. So we're looking back on Justin Fashanu's story. Justin was a man who left an indelible mark on both the game of football and LGBTQ plus representation as a whole. Justin was born on February the 19th, 1961. So February, not only is it History Month, but it's also a chance for us to celebrate Justin's life because it's the month of his birth. He was born in Hackney, London, and growing up, he grew up in a football-loving family, and him and his brother, John Fashanu, both shared a passion for football. Justin's journey as a professional footballer kicked off at Norwich City in the late 70s. His skill and charisma on the pitch quickly earned him the fame and recognition he deserved as one of football's greats. Playing primarily as a striker, Justin showcased incredible talent and goal-scoring prowess, and he was basically just a legend with the ball. He was amazing.
Wow.
And as a formidable striker, Justin's goal-scoring skills was completely undeniable. He was a bit of a Shearer, basically.
The one thing I do know about Justin Fashanu is that he scored that amazing goal against Liverpool, I think it was.
As a formidable striker, Justin's goal scoring, you know, skills was undeniable. He was a bit of a Shearer. Holly, I don't know if you know anything about Justin's career. I don't know if you want to, have you heard anything about what he achieved as on the pitch?
Yeah, so I do remember seeing this one amazing strike. I think it was in a cup match against Liverpool. It was just an incredible goal. And I feel like did that sort of propel his career from there on? Is that correct?
Yes, absolutely. I think the goal that you're talking about is the one that he scored in 1980 against Liverpool, mm-hmm. which not only secured them a memorable victory for Norwich City on the day, but also earned him the match of the day goal of the season, which obviously, you know, is a massive achievement for any footballer. So,
absolutely.
So yeah, that was one of the kind of standout moments of his career.
Ryan, Fashanu. Oh, what a goal! Oh, that's a magnificent goal! Didn't seem to be the room between Ray Clements' hand and the post. And John Bond still wants to make a defensive point of cover as the crowd applauds. Surely one of the best goals I've seen at Carrow Road this season.
And obviously, you know, for a decade or so, you know, he played as a, you know, a closeted gay man had huge, huge success in his career. He was very, very popular, very well known. And obviously, as you can imagine, as a striker, you know, he was one of the names that in the Premier League was, you know, it was in. He was on every back page every week, you know, for his performances. So if we fast forward a decade to 1990, Fashanu made history by becoming the first professional footballer to come out as publicly gay.
Whenever anything's happened, I've always done it in the sign. When I became a £1 million player, that was in the sign. When I became a born-again Christian, that was in the sign. So I kind of thought to myself that if I was going to do it properly and be honest, then use the same medium that I'd used all the time before. I'd had a knee injury 4 years ago, and I'd spent a lot of time, a lot of money and effort trying to get back into soccer because I felt that the injury was curable. I came back a couple of times too early, and probably the reason I didn't make it was because there's been so many innuendos and rumours and this, that and the other going on about my sexuality and about me over the years that I thought that the situation was, let's be honest, there's so much hypocrisy, there's so many people who are not what they say they are. It's not a big deal in as much as people are either employing me for what I can do on the soccer field or not. You know, there's a lot of people that get up to lots of things, and I don't think that it should affect whether you can play or not. And I just felt that I wanted to get all the past out. I wanted to be honest and truthful, not only to myself, but to other people as well.
And this was a really courageous step at the time, and it was groundbreaking. It sparked huge, huge conversations about LGBT inclusion in sport, as you can imagine. And it was a pivotal moment in Justin's life, and it was historic because obviously we hadn't seen anything like that in the game or even at that time in society, you know. Being an openly gay footballer was virtually unheard of. And when the announcement came out, it sent shockwaves through the football community and beyond. You know, it was on every news channel, every newspaper spread. So I just wondered, Holly, you know, given what we know now, given that this was in the 90s and here we sit in 2024 without a single out gay footballer today, how do you think Justin's decision to come out influenced the perception of LGBTQ people in the sports world? What do you think the impact might have been at the time?
I can't imagine it was wholly positive, given that we haven't had anybody coming out in the Premier League since.
Yeah.
That said, yeah, the obviously coming out of the 1980s into the 90s as well, we had the AIDS crisis, which rocked, obviously, the gay community. So, yeah, I guess kind of like the negative connotations that were attached to that probably made headlines again with sort of like Justin coming out as openly gay and the connotations that could come from that. And what it would be like for players in the dressing room, etc.
And you can just imagine, you know, like you say, the stigma, you know, in the midst, there was the height of the AIDS crisis, you know, coming in that time, it was shocking for a lot of people. And I think the backlash, and I think it's fair to say, he never really recovered from that, you know, in terms of his career, in terms of his life, his mental health. The reaction to him coming out, it's fair to say from my research, was mixed. Lots of people offered support while others exhibited huge amounts of prejudice, you know, to him and his loved ones, and it was a challenging period for him both personally and professionally. But it showed a huge amount of courage, you know. He paved the way for future LGBTQ plus athletes. Mm. He challenged stereotypes, you know. He spoke openly in the media. He fostered conversations about acceptance in the sports world. And, you know, we look back today, you know, this is 30 years on, and we're still looking back at his journey and thinking about what huge impact he made in the midst of so much backlash and challenge. And I think as a trans person in 2024, whenever I go on Twitter, like I said, you know, you see awful stuff. I think we can all look back and sort of maybe take a little bit of inspiration, a little bit of, you know, bravery from Justin's story, really.
Absolutely. I mean, so, imagine that. Sorry, I was just going to say, I think it's amazing that he kept going and kept in the public eye, given that some of the sort of feedback coming from that must have been, and the backlash must have been quite intense. And that's in a world without sort of Twitter and, you know, mobile phones and things like that. Just seeing that every day must have been soul destroying.
Yeah, absolutely. And we know that, you know, unfortunately, Justin, in the end, he lost his battle with his mental health, and he took his own life in 1998. And his passing, you know, serves as a reminder of the struggles that lots of LGBT people face, you know, both in the world of sports, but, you know, outside of it as well. And I think, you know, I just, you know, was thinking, do you think there are any lessons we can take away from looking back at Justin's life and, you know, especially knowing what we know now about mental health as well? Like, I don't know that they really had the same sort of awareness about mental health back in the times when Justin came out and was going through what he went through.
Absolutely. I think you're so right. I think the way that we discuss mental health has changed so much. Well, I can imagine I was, a child in the 1990s, so, you know, not really aware of that kind of thing. But I always remember feeling like there was a stigma around people that suffered with depression or people that suffered with anxiety. And quite a few times they were people quite close to me as well, without knowing it, sort of grown up into being a teenager, I guess. So I think the way we talk about mental health now is so much softer and so much more sort of like encouraging to seek help. And I think if there's one thing we can take away from not only Justin's legacy, but his sort of bravery on the pitch, is that we should be open to talking about how we're really feeling with our close friends and family. You know what I mean? We really need to share. Sharing is caring, that's what they say. And I really feel like that helps.
Absolutely. I think about United with Pride. I think about supporters, groups like, you know, LGBT groups, things like that. The importance of community. One of the things that really strikes me about Justin is that he was such an incredible trailblazer. You know, he was the Haaland of his day, if you like, you know. And
yeah.
But he was isolated, you know, he didn't have a community around him, and he was at the top of his game. But unfortunately, he was really failed by the footballing world. And I think things have moved on. But what really strikes me is that it really makes me think about the importance of allyship within the football community. You know, we need to create a more inclusive culture, and that starts from standing up for the person next to you. And I'm really, really passionate about, you know, our fan culture coming together and really, you know, speaking out against homophobia when we see it, you know, reporting it to your respective clubs, reporting it where you see it on social media. It's just such an important thing to do. Because we don't want to lose anybody else. We don't want to, you know, we don't want to lose more people. And we want to give, I really think, my aim is that, you know, hopefully by the time this decade that we're in is out, we at least have a few out LGBT, a few people out in the men's game. Because it's hard for me to believe, you know, we've got 20 teams there. Each team must have 40, 50 players attached to it. Mm-hmm. We don't have a single out professional footballer in 2024. It's just, it's mad to me. It's like,
it's really telling,
you know that they're there.
Mm-hmm.
The statistics tell us that they're there, but they're just not, they're not confident. They're scared. They're... Mm-hmm. You know, and rightfully so. It's understandable. Mm-hmm. If you look at the kind of treatment that Justin had and faced during his career when he was out, it's understandable that a professional footballer would be scared to be themselves, to be open.
Absolutely. I think it's the culture around certain clubs as well. If you look at a club that's maybe got a bit more of a sort of rough and ready reputation, you almost feel like the inclusion there of people who aren't kind of like this cisgender, straight, white norm feels almost impossible, doesn't it? I think even I can see a change in our club's sort of like audience. Like every time I go now, there's people of different ethnicities. There's people, you know, with rainbow scarves on. There's more women there. You know what I mean? It's so good to see a bit of diversity. And it's important that we keep that up, I think.
Yeah. And you know, that's just, we should probably wrap this up. But I just wanted to take a moment of quite a short episode to reflect on Justin's life, his courage, his resilience, the strides he made during his career. He was a true trailblazer. So I'd like us all to take away kind of a commitment to carry forward that spirit that Justin showed, you know, his bravery, his determination.
Absolutely.
And let's just keep breaking down some barriers so that more people can be themselves and express themselves both on the stands, but more importantly, I would say, is on the pitch. Let's see that happen sooner rather than later.
If Justin's life is to stand for something, it should be, you know, that we are all people. And we're all equal, and we just want to sort of feel included in the conversation. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe that's
great. Well, thank you. Thanks everyone for listening. Thank you for hopefully subscribing. If you haven't subscribed already, please subscribe to this podcast wherever you listen to your podcasts, and so you don't miss out on future episodes. We will be back soon with more content like this and more chat and natters about Newcastle United as well. So thanks for listening, everyone, and happy LGBTQ plus History Month.
Happy LGBTQ plus History Month. See you next time.
Rainbow Mags, the United with Pride podcast. Proudly supported by Pride Radio.